Shooby dooby doo. Scooby doo. Yes.
That could be one of two very old jazz violinists. Stuff Smith or Joe Venuti. You laugh.
You are making up these names.
I'm not making up those names. Stuff Smith was the man's name.
Really?
Yes.
Did you give him permission personally to do this?
I did not. But I'm just guessing here. But I'm not making up those names. Those are two legit names of jazz violinists that were around in the 30s, 40s, even into the 1950s.
And you remember them, of course, from the 30s and 40s.
I'm not that old.
No,
just
you're not.
Just two records.
Hey, nature is everywhere, even in an urban area. So I'm driving in this morning. It's kind of light out, kind of not so light out
You
yet.
Know what, though? Isn't it nice to have some kind of light when
yes.
we get in at this, in
yes.
the early morning hours?
Yes, yes, exclamation mark.
It changes your whole outlook.
Totally correct. So I'm driving in, and I see a crow flying. This is true, over Lakeshore Drive. And I see kind of, I thought it was the shadow of the crow, or I didn't know what it was. Turns out, running across Lakeshore Drive, a rat. And the crow, one of those large
went for
ones.
The rat?
Yeah, one of those large, large crows going, rah,
yeah,
rah.
Yeah.
Is that what they do?
Yeah, that's exactly
what they
do.
Have I got that
do.
Right? Rah, going just like that. That's not right?
It is, but I'm laughing at the accuracy of your sound effect.
I'm not sure that's what you're laughing at. And the rat then goes across the drive, going from east to west, goes in some bushes, and then by the time, I don't know what happened, because I was going to slam on the brakes to see how this ended, but I decided that really wouldn't be a good idea. So I did not. I kept going. But it's interesting. I had no idea that crows would be interested in eating, I suppose, eating rats.
Oh, sure. That's food for them.
Yeah.
Mice, rats, anything they can get their claws into.
I believe so. I believe so. Thank you, Mr. Schwani.
You're welcome.
Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
My microphone wasn't on 638 on WGN. Good morning, Steve Dale on WGN. Hard to do, really. Hard to hear me without my microphone on. Dr. Natalie Marks is in the studio. Good morning, Dr. Marks.
Good morning, Steve. I have to say I'm a little scared to drive back down on Lakeshore on my way home after your account of the pterodactyl-like crow. That's searching for breakfast.
It did not sound like a crow to you?
Not so much, but that's okay.
Yeah, she's an expert. She knows.
Well, not a crow expert, but it's a little,
I love the description, the pterodactyl-like.
You should see him in person here.
Oh, I have for a long time.
He has. And that explains why he's on another floor. Our phone number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You could text at that same number if you have questions. And do you have a pet that's afraid of going to the veterinarian? Now, here's what I believe, Dr. Marks, to kind of set this up. I believe a percent of dogs, to make up a percent, maybe 20%. I think most, the overwhelming majority of rabbits and parrots, and I think the overwhelming majority of cats are terrified, not just kind of worried, terrified of the veterinary visit. And I described it this way once. It's as if, so Mr. Schwani is up on the seventh floor. If we were to go to the window, open it up, hold Mr. Schwani halfway out the window, I mean, he would be afraid for his life. I really think that a percent and a significant percent, particularly cats and other animals, but some dogs are really so afraid at the veterinary clinic, they are literally afraid they are going to die.
Well, I think you're right in a certain percentage of dogs. You know, we are very, very proud to be part of this new initiative, which we're going to talk about, the Fear Free Initiative. But we have
the first in Chicago to do what we're about to talk about.
We are. And it's because we believe so strongly in this and coming from that background, you know, if you think about it, when you take your pet to the veterinarian, especially let's just think of the first visit, there's usually a lot of physical exam that they're not used to. There's vaccines usually that can create pain. And we haven't in the past done a great job of making it an incredibly positive experience from the pet's eyes. And so that's really what this is about, is removing fear, anxiety, and stress from your pet, which will also remove it from you.
Very, very well put. So you didn't go into veterinary medicine to do anything other than help animals, right?
Of course not.
Right. But unknowingly, over decades and decades now, the veterinary visit, for reasons you describe and others, has not been a pleasant one for many pets. And as I say, with cats in particular, they are absolutely terrified, and certainly other animals, such as rabbits or parrots. And I wonder if so cats have something in common with rabbits and parrots and guinea pigs and gerbils and hamsters. They are all prey animals. So to be put in a situation like that, that they have no control over, where everything smells strange, looks strange, loud noises occur, can be terrifying. And in fact, can be fearful, fear, anxiety, and stress you mentioned. Mm-hmm. I would even say terrifying for some of these animals.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. You know, we have not done a great job of really separating that cats are not small dogs. And it's been refreshing, actually, to see how much work has come out now on cat behavior versus dog behavior and recognizing their body language, and also realizing that a cat's first response is not to prey. It's actually, you know, they will freeze and they want to try and flee when they get scared. And we have not, again, done a great job of acknowledging that and making sure that we adapt our exam room, adapt our like you mentioned, the environment, the music, the lighting, the way we handle cats, the way we approach cats, the way we allow them to settle in and adapt before we even try to work with them. Because we need to respect that fear, anxiety, and stress does not just affect humans. It affects all of these animals. And it can only be better medicine as well for your pet, because you'll be able to come there, I think, a little more calmly and realize that they're not leaving terrified or, the thing I hate the worst is when an owner comes in with their cat and, you know, they're feeling kind of somewhat embarrassed. And they said, you know, oh, my cat had an accident or vomited in the car or urinated in their carrier. That's obviously not a great start to your day. And think of how your cat is feeling that stress coming to the veterinarian. So we're going to talk a little bit more about what we're doing to implement this fear-free initiative and hopefully change the way veterinary medicine is looked at by your pet.
Well, so this is as big as that. I mean, the way veterinary medicine is perceived by pets, that's how big this initiative is. It's called Fear Free. So we kind of described it, danced around it a little bit. What is it?
Well, it is basically a program that allows veterinarians right now on their own to become certified, as I am. And it goes through different strategies from the moment we talk to you on the phone, getting your pet ready for the vet visit at home, all the way to the entire visit through the veterinary office, ways to, if we need to, offer sedation to allow your pet to feel a little bit better. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that idea.
I would argue that's the right thing to do. It's better to be sedated just a bit, you don't know what's going on, as opposed to be absolutely terrified and thinking, as I said, you are going to die.
Right. And we're just removing anxiety. We're not creating a situation where your pet needs to be monitored. It's just, again, just ramping down that anxiety a little bit so that they feel better. And that's really important from a behavior perspective, because when pets are anxious, they cannot learn and form a new habit of a positive behavior. They turn all that off. And I'm sure a lot of you out there have been trying to work with an anxious pet at home and can realize how frustrating training can be without the help of an anti-anxiety, so that break those bad connections in the brain and allow them to learn a new one. So with that being said, we're going to be working very closely, as we've already started at our practice, and trying to educate owners on a new way of thinking so that we're really looking through your dog or cat's eyes and making sure that their visit is as fear-free as possible.
You know, and you must have had this happen many times a day at some point. I mean, someone comes in with a terrified, I almost think fear isn't a strong enough word for some of these animals. So a terrified pet, and then the owner becomes anxious.
Yes.
and then you, as the veterinarian and your staff, become anxious. That makes the pet even more anxious because the pet picks up on right. everything their person is thinking and feeling.
Right.
And it becomes a snowball.
It does. And it's very hard to get back from that. You know, I can't do a great physical exam on a dog that is so nervous and scared that's kind of cowering in the back. And again, dogs and cats react very differently to fear, anxiety, and stress. And that's why it's so important for us to be educating owners as well, so that you're not kind of misrecognizing those cues at home. You know, one common thing I get is when dogs come in, they're anxious, they yawn a lot. Okay. And a lot of clients mistakenly or just out of not even understanding that that's an anxious sign, we'll make jokes about their dog being tired or how cute they're smiling. And I used to think that too. I mean, this is very new information for all of us, but that is a key sign of anxiety. And so acknowledging that and allowing them to get a quote unquote positive acknowledgement from either a veterinarian or a staff member or from a parent, pet parent, just adds to the fact that that's a behavior they should do. So this is going to hopefully snowball, and we're so excited that this is just going to hopefully revolutionize how we can practice medicine and be more of a team, the veterinarian, the pet, and the pet parent.
Well, I think what you say, again, is extremely correct and very, very well put. So it's better that the pet is there than not there.
Absolutely.
That's there's no question that that's true. But there's also no question that veterinary visits are on the decline. And particularly for cats.
Right.
And as the human-animal bond has increased over the years, what we know this by studies that have been done. One of the reasons, there are many, but one of the reasons why visits are down is because the owners feel uncomfortable at the veterinary clinic because their cat often, or dog, feels uncomfortable as well.
That's right. And one thing I would stress right now to any cat owner out there, the number one reason that I hear from owners, either they canceled or are running really late, is it took me 45 minutes. My cat was hiding under the bed. I couldn't get him in the carrier. He's screaming. He's peeing. I wouldn't want that experience at home
if it was me. If you have a bad experience, you don't want to repeat it again.
That's right. Yeah. So number one right now for all the cat owners listening, make your cat carrier part of your furniture. It does not have to be your coffee table in your living room, but it needs to be out. It needs to be visible. Cats don't need to see that 10 minutes before their vet visit that's been stuck in the garage and dirty and has a smell from the last time. We need to make sure that cat carrier is, again, a positive association. There are ways that we can make it smell better. We can make your cat travel better. But again, that's just the first start of trying to make this a positive experience, because all we want to do is prevent disease, right? We want to do wellness care. That's how you keep your cat and dog as healthy as possible. We can't do that from home.
And the blood work even can be skewed by the animal being terrified.
That's right.
Difficult for you to examine, as you point out. I mean, again, better that they're there because you get something out of it as a veterinarian, I suspect, but it's not the kind of exam you would do with a cat that's just rubbing up against you, purring. And that can happen, by the way. There are really cats like that.
There are.
Or a dog that's saying, oh, I love you. Just give me more cookies.
That's right. And, you know, some of the strategies that we're going to be implementing, and, you know, we've been posting some of these already on our Facebook page, is implementing high reward treats. So we have frozen peanut butter cups and frozen cream cheese cups for dogs.
Do you have an opening today? For dogs. How about for people?
Well, that I would like to film, Steve, if you're taking one of our frozen peanut butter cups with a...
I would.
With ethyl racial. We could do that. But, you know, for cats, they love baby shrimp. So that's going to be something positive for them, too. And making sure that the smells of our exam rooms are positive for them. There are products out there like Feel Away and Adaptil, which are pheromones. Those are hormones that your cat or dog releases when they're relaxed. It's a very natural way to get them to relax. And it's really amazing to see the difference of a cat coming in stressed that's then allowed to get into a towel and kind of burritoed into almost like a feel away massage. And they will instantly relax. And again, this is a natural way to make them feel more tolerant and more comfortable about being there. Ways that we can, again, acknowledge their body language and behavior so that we're not addressing them when they're stressed, but rewarding them when they're calm. Ways to touch them, different ways to will, quote unquote, say restrain, but more handle them comfortably in different positions, in different places in the room when we're trying to do either an exam or blood work or blood pressure checks. Again, these are little things. It's going to be a whole program, but we're so excited about it because we really feel, I know I do in my career now, I look back and I think, why weren't we doing this sooner?
Yeah.
You know, but better late than never. So let's
and
make...
Blum Animal Hospital is doing this, right?
We are doing
so
it.
So will
yeah.
you walk people, if folks say, you know, my pet is just terrified about going to the veterinary clinic, you know, can you help me? If folks call and I'm about to give a phone number, will you kind of walk them through or have someone on your staff walk them through ways in which they can benefit their pet before they get there and even have a conversation, maybe a consulting conversation with them, which they'd have to pay for. But boy, that's an investment that would pay off.
We do. And we send e-blasts out to our clients. We have information on our social media pages and our care coordinators are always willing to discuss this. And again, it starts at home. It doesn't start at the veterinary practice. It starts at home getting your dog or cat ready. You know, it's great to bring your dog in hungry. Bring a high reward treat and have them come in because we want them to want to eat a peanut butter cup with you, Steve.
She's making me hungry this morning.
Or have their high reward treats. You know, that's really what's going to make them feel better. And, you know, for instance, I get scared flying, and there are certain things that I do to try and make that a little bit better experience for me. And thank God I do, because I have to go places. And
but you have some control over it, and
I
pets
do,
really
and they
don't.
And that's
the thing.
That's yep. exactly the huge thing. But yep. as a pet parent, you do. So, so we're anxious to educate, no pun intended, but and really help owners feel better about coming to the veterinary office.
Well, we've got some text here, 312-981-7200. Text or call us. And I'll try to catch up and get to some of these. I also want to talk about an epidemic in Chicago. We'll do that in just a moment on WGN. Rick Pearson here talking state budget of Illinois after 7 o'clock. I've been saying that for a year. I'll probably be saying that for another 20 years. I don't know. Everyone has odors in their home, in their car, in their office, in their life. Do you have odors in your life, Dr. Marks?
Oh, my goodness, Steve.
I guess she doesn't want to talk about that. And kids especially. And then
I
you
have
add,
three children.
You do,
so.
And then you add pets to the mix. So people have been texting saying, how can I learn more about this? And my dog is just terrified. I have several here, no mm-hmm. surprise. My cat is afraid. My cat is worried. On and on and on. How do they learn more about Fear Free?
Well, right now, one of the best ways, I think, around here locally, you can certainly come to our website, blumvet.com, or call us at 773-327-4446. We've been posting a lot on our Facebook page, a lot of information, and also some real-time videos of dogs and cats feeling less stress, less fear, less anxiety, and how we're doing that. So you can get a little bit of a real-time impression of what it would be like to come in and just get some more information for home.
And you and I are going to do some blog posts together, probably some videos as well.
Yep.
And my website /blog is stevedale.tv. Natalie Marks is here at 7 o'clock. We've run out of time to talk about this epidemic that I refer to. Really good tease by me. It's like, what is that? What epidemic is going on? What is going on?
Well, there is, unfortunately, one of the largest tick burdens we've ever seen this year. And because of that, Lyme disease is roaring across the country.
Including the Chicago area.
That's right. You know, 1 in 16 dogs in the country has Lyme disease. And that's way too many. And conservatively, 300,000 people are diagnosed every year. So this is a huge problem. www.stoplyme.com. That's LYME.com. A lot more information how to keep your pets and your family healthy this year.
Thank you very much, Dr. Marks. As always, Blum Animal
Thanks,
Hospital.
Steve.